gentlemen, you are listening to Nate the Hate on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. Be sure to like the video and subscribe. I'd like to thank all the new subscribers who came with our Nintendo Direct Predictions video. Unfortunately, we predicted a different type of Direct than what we actually got, and we're going to talk about that topic today. And to do that, we have once again MVG.
Thanks for having me on, Nate. Always a pleasure to be here. I'm very eager to get stuck into this conversation.
It's going to be quite the conversation. And we have VentureBeat's own and fan favorite of Nate the Hate's community, Jeffrey Grubb, joining us once again.
Hey, I love them right back. You got a good community here. Thanks for having me back on. This is going to be a good one, I think.
Yes, this should be a very lively and passionate discussion. And yes, the community loves to have you on the show, and we love having you too. We always have fun, and we always have a quality discussion. So let's just jump right into it. We had Nintendo. Oh, I have a dedication for this episode. I forgot about that. We had a $109 donation from Shamsa. Thank you for the support as always, and your contributions to the channel are greatly appreciated. So let's jump right into it. Nintendo introduced a new format today with the introduction of the Nintendo Direct Mini Partner Showcase. It was 8 minutes long, and it highlighted less than a dozen games, and it included Cadence of Hyrule with some new DLC and the announcement that it's going to have a physical release later this year in October, on October 23rd. We then saw Rogue Company and a brand new character that's being added into the game. We saw the wrestling arcade game, WWE 2K Battlegrounds. And then we saw Atlus, who really came with a couple of quality titles. They have Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne coming to Switch and PlayStation 4 in October in Japan, but it'll be a spring 2021 release in North America. And they gave us the announcement that Shin Megami Tensei 5 will have a simultaneous worldwide release in 2021, and they showed us a brief amount of new footage, though it looked like it mostly replicated the trailer from 2018, though it did look visually better because it should be a more enhanced version of the game, you know, more advanced. So what would you rank the quality of this Direct? And we'll start with Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, how do you even rank this thing? It was like, I woke up late. I was kind of, as soon as I heard what it was last night, and I guess we could talk about like what our response was to the announcement last night. But like when I saw the tweet and it explained basically what this was going to be, I knew it wasn't going to be too much to get excited about. They said straight up it's going to be a partner showcase, and that meant probably no Mario, no Breath of the Wild 2 trailer or anything like that. So I woke up late and I watched it late, and then I put it on, and I'm like, wow, this timer here right on YouTube says like 8.5 minutes. It's even shorter than the 10 minutes they were saying. So I put it on, and even knowing it was really short, it still felt like it was over before I blinked. It was over so fast. There was just so little there. I'm not a great gauge of time. But going in, I'm like, you know, how many games can you fit in there? It still felt light, even with low expectations. How do I rank it? It's bad. This isn't a good look for Nintendo, obviously. I don't know if it's not the end of the world. I think if they come out with a real Direct at any point over the next 3 months or whatever, people are still going to go wild for that thing. It's not going to affect too much. But this is bad. I mean, I rank it a 1 out of 5. There's my official ranking there. There you go.
I think in a vacuum, if it wasn't in the kind of current situation that, you know, Paper Mario has been released and now we have no idea what the plan is for them, I think timing wise, yeah, I mean, I agree with Jeff. It's not a good look. As far as a little bite-sized Direct Mini goes, I mean, in a vacuum, it's not necessarily the worst Direct that I've seen, but yeah, I think, you know, overall the timing is just way off base.
Yeah, I would agree with the in the vacuum statement. If we just viewed this on its own, it had some redeeming qualities. I mean, Atlus with the two Shin Megami Tensei games, those were nice updates, especially on 5, and the surprise of Nocturne coming, you know, kind of out of nowhere. The rest of it just kind of felt discombobulated. Rogue Company was in a closed alpha just a couple of weeks ago, so people have been playing it, and I believe it's in early access today, but that kind of felt like that could have just been, you know, dropped on Twitter, and it would have basically had the same fanfare that it got during this presentation. And WWE Battlegrounds was announced a few months ago, and I don't think the trailer or the presentation today really did it any additional favors. We know what it is. We know it's an arcade-y wrestling game from Saber Interactive. It is what it is. And Cadence of Hyrule getting a retail release with some DLC. Cool. That's a nice little announcement. Maybe that's our Zelda game for 2020. But overall, it didn't feel like it was something that necessarily had to happen today or even this month. All of this content is still ways off, and they all felt like they could have just been Twitter drops. And in the case of Atlas with SMT5 and even Nocturne, I'm surprised they didn't just wait for like the Tokyo Game Show, where they would do maybe their own presentation, or maybe if Nintendo has a Tokyo Game Show direct around that time, have it there, because this aired, I believe, at 11 p.m. in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So their, you know, audience there didn't see this when it happened. They woke up to it, you know, tomorrow they'll see it. And overall, it just didn't feel like a necessary presentation in any way. And I find it weird that this was Nintendo's first means of communication with us in months, and this is how they came out.
They did say they're going to start doing more of these too, though, right? Like, that's how they finished this. I mean, you know, expect more of these soon. So, I mean, do you think that there's going to be like an increase in frequency where we get more of these drops, like every couple of weeks, like through the holiday?
Maybe. I mean, if they could turn this into like an every other week type of thing, and instead of doing the Twitter drops that we had come to expect with like Paper Mario, and instead they do it with these partner presentations, that might go over better with the community. Like, you get 10-minute bite-sized things. Maybe the next one is first party focused, and Nintendo comes out and says, here's that Mario 35th anniversary stuff. Boom. People get excited. You know, and you start detailing your 2020 remainder that way. It might resonate a little better with the base, but this probably wasn't the best introduction with this roster of software.
Yeah, it feels like they had to, you know, if they're changing tacks, if they're coming in and thinking like this is going to be our new way of communicating with smaller, more frequent shows, you have to start somewhere, right? So I guess you know, this qualifies. They did this. They've established what to expect. And now they can maybe play around this format, do something more exciting next time, or they could just do something that's kind of equivalent, and now people are accustomed to what this is. But yeah, it's, you know, you're right. It is a little bit baffling that they haven't started talking about some of those games that we, you know, were expecting. The rumors have been out there about Pikmin 3 and the Mario 3D stuff, and we're past Paper Mario now. This is the point where people are like, well, they're gonna have to start talking after that, right? They're gonna have to start telling us what's coming up after that game, and now we are firmly in that time frame, and it's and they still haven't. So it is weird, but I don't know. I don't think we need to be like ringing the alarm bells that like this whole year is going to be thrown away by Nintendo. I think this year was always going to be a disappointment, and we're feeling that combined with the effects of COVID, and that's making it seem maybe a little bit worse than what it will actually turn out to be. But, you know, I don't blame people for being a little bit anxious. Like, they haven't said what's coming up next. And if Paper Mario is not your thing, if Animal Crossing wasn't your thing, it's been a while since you've had a big Nintendo game to look forward to. I'm old, so I'm like, I remember when I had the Nintendo 64, the droughts were way worse than this. So God, I'm just like, yeah, to me, this company still feels like they're so much better off than where they were in those days. That I'm like,
even the Wii U,
this is fine. This is nothing.
Even the Wii U. I mean, you were waiting for the next first party game. You know.
Yeah, I mean, and we did just get Paper Mario, and it's a game that I wouldn't say it's divisive. It's appealing to the audience that it's sought to appeal to. Those who wanted that traditional RPG have realized it's not, and they've kind of moved on. They're waiting for the next thing from Nintendo. Clubhouse Games is still a game you can pick up every day and enjoy. And Nintendo still has that lovely evergreen, you know, library of software, be it Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart 8, Splatoon 2, ARMS, etc. There's still a lot of software there. I see this direct kind of as a failure to the consumer who invested in the Switch back in 2017 and 2018. Because it's like, hey, you guys have been giving us some quality software each year. Where in 2020, you kind of thought Nintendo was going to hit their stride this year, because we're 3 years removed from that launch year. And in that launch year, we had a new 3D Zelda, new IPs with ARMS and 1-2 Switch. We had a Mario Kart. You had so much quality back at launch. Now you're 3 years removed, and you're kind of like, well, these teams should have their new projects ready. We should see them announced. We should even get a few of them probably released this year. And we're just silent from so many of Nintendo's development studios. So people are getting definitely anxious, and they're wondering, what is Nintendo doing internally? What are their development teams up to? And as you brought up earlier, Jeff, Pikmin 3, this is a game that rumors began to circulate last spring.
Yeah.
And as you even reported earlier this year, Pikmin 3, back in, I believe it was May you reported it, Pikmin 3 should be announced at any time, because we were expecting it to release feasibly in June. And it's still silent, and it's such a odd title to be silent about. It's a Wii U port. Yes, it's going to have new content and all of that. But that would have been that nice little game you could have thrown on Twitter today and just said, Pikmin 3 coming out the end of August. And it would have been like, okay, Nintendo's starting to talk to us. They're starting to tell us what they're bringing out to their hardware this year. And that's the type of starting point I think people are getting a little impatient with right now.
Is Nintendo ready? Do you really? I mean, you can say that, you know, it's a marketing failure, but for me, I feel like this is like a stopgap, this direct that they put together. Like, I think this is something that they knew that people weren't necessarily going to react favorably to, right? But I also feel like, you know, the good stuff is still coming. I don't think, you know, any of us think that things have changed on that front. You know, Mario, Pikmin, all that stuff is still definitely in the works. We just don't know when it's coming. And for me, like, the way this feels to me is that Nintendo is kind of further behind, you know, than we thought they were from a being ready to go. Now, I'm not saying that Pikmin 3 isn't ready to go, but I think putting that direct style presentation together was, you know, they didn't have enough time. And you know, we kind of, I think we've talked about this before, where, you know, to mount a direct takes a lot of different moving parts, you know, to get it put together. And it takes a lot of time. And for me, I'm not saying they slapped this together in Premiere Pro on Friday night and you know, uploaded it to YouTube, right? But I feel like that they still need more time to get the kind of the big one ready to go. And whether that is because of COVID, whether it's because, you know, remote staff or whatever, I don't know the answer to that. But, you know, I think that they just need a little bit more time to get, you know, what we want.
See, I'm kind of, and I'll see if Jeff maybe agrees with this, I'm now of the thought process that there are no more general directs for 2020.
I think that's possible. I'll say that this, so far, you know, we're still in July. This still tracks with what I heard originally, with them saying that, you know, just we're going to put off directs for a while. You know, partners, go ahead and just put stuff out on your own. And that's why, you know, the Apex Legends on Switch ends up at the EA thing for their Naughty 3. And that, you know, that was always supposed to be part of a direct. And they were willing to, like, do that in July, like EA was. So I think that the fact that we're still in July, we're not past that threshold where even Nintendo was telling partners, hey, if we're going to have something, maybe it's not till August. To me, that's like, okay, so yeah, they put something together maybe because they felt they had to, for whatever reason, whatever the partnerships with these other companies, you know, dictates to them that they have to do in terms of, like, co-marketing or whatever, you know, but they did that because they felt they had to. And then all the other stuff will come when they have had way more time to put them together. And, you know, we were talking about this before we started recording, like, it's the United States now that is really still dealing with COVID in a really tough way, where most of the world has figured out how to put things, figured how to, like, put a cap on that and get back to something of a normal life. And, you know, Japan is definitely part of that. Japan's gone back to work. And that's so that means they probably are working on something, and they probably will have something ready next month. Now, anytime I hear a rumor now, I'm going to be like, is it another one of these mini partnership ones? Because they said there's more of those coming. So I'm going to be like, ah, whatever. But I still think that they always intended to kind of get out of July and then really have something ready for August. So, yeah, this still tracks. So I think there could be a general direct between now and the end of the year. At the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if they just figured out other ways of doing things between now and then, just because part of that is the United States team does put a lot of this stuff together. Sometimes they are the ones that go out and meet partners and get these games put into the direct, and that's going to be more difficult. And you know, people say, well, you know, Japan can handle that, or Japan's in the office, they can handle it. It's not always about being in the office. It's about being able to travel and going to meet these developers face to face, something I think we talked about before as well. Nintendo values that a lot. And that's going to be hard in the United States for, yeah, through the end of the year. So if that's the barrier, then, yeah, I think you're right, Nate. Maybe we won't get another general direct between now and then.
Yeah, and, like, I still expect normal minis, these partner minis, probably an indie showcase sometime this year. Because, I mean, the fact is Nintendo still has to communicate with their base in some way. They still have games with partners, be it indie or third party, that they have to market. And these are still fantastic means of presenting them in a marketing fashion. So it's really, I guess, a question of like timing. And Nagi brought up August. It's probably something from them, be it a partner mini or just a standard mini. Because the expectation is September is Mario's birthday. They are celebrating the 35th anniversary this year. What a better time to actually release the 3D Mario collection than September. So if you're going to do that, as we know, Japan requires a 30-day advance notice so they can take pre-orders of games. So you have to date something starting in August. You could still announce it this month if you really wanted to. You have, you know, a little time left. And you, I guess you could date something for the end of August right now. But it seems like August will be when Nintendo begins to communicate their holiday 2020 plans. And it just feels 5 months of silence from them. Since the March mini, it's a long time to really sit there and say, I bought my Switch for Animal Crossing. You're still giving me new content. You're giving us no free updates. But what's next? And as a consumer, I get that impatient feel a little bit. Because you've just been on the back burner saying, what's next for the system I just bought? And I see a lot of people on Twitter say, well, Nintendo's selling a lot of hardware. Maybe Nintendo isn't launching new software right now because they're having sellouts nationwide to begin with and in Japan and such. So what's the point of launching a high-profile game if you don't have the hardware to go alongside it? And that gives me flashbacks of the Wii, where the Wii was having sellouts. It was selling well. But then all of a sudden in, I want to say it was like 2008, maybe 2009, Nintendo just took their foot off that software pedal. And they started catering so much to that casual audience, or they were just not localizing games from Japan and even Europe because they didn't want to. They were like, well, we're selling. We don't have to try as hard. And I hope that isn't what we're seeing from Nintendo here. I hope they haven't gotten into that Nintendo arrogant mode where it's, we're having great success. We don't have to try as hard as we did back in 2017.
I think they know that they are judged by their first party output. And when I say judge, I mean like us here on a podcast. So I think they know their investors look to that stuff. And I think they know that more than ever. Because, I mean, if you just look at the numbers, I bet, like, you know, not just hardware sales, but I bet software sales from third party and indie publishers and indie developers are all also doing very well. I bet that stuff's all also making money for Nintendo in a way that it maybe never has on a Nintendo system in quite some time, except for maybe some of the handhelds. And so I'm sure they could point to that. But I still think, like, as much as they would point to that, they know that the people that invested them are familiar with Mario and Zelda, and that's the stuff they want to see happen because that's the stuff that has the brand name, and that's the stuff that, like, does really well with licensing, and they have a new, you know, theme park opening up. So what are you doing to promote that with your games? I hear what you're saying, and I think there is that the potential for them to fall into that pit, especially with the other games not coming from them selling so well and them making money from, like, Fortnite and stuff. But I don't think that's what's happening. I think what's happening is, like, you know, Occam's Razor is they just were, some games got delayed anyhow because they were just, you know, taking too long, or they were too complicated. Breath of the Wild 2 got pushed or whatever. Metroid Prime 4 got rebooted. So this year was always going to be a little bit of a disappointment. And then on top of that, they just are having trouble dealing with COVID in a way that a lot of other companies aren't, but they are. And yeah. I think that's just the simplest solution here. And I think that's what makes sense.
Absolutely. So Nate, I have a question for you. So you always talk about there's one more game, you know, there's that one Nintendo first party game that you know you think is a part of this year's plans. Has that changed for you now after today, or do you still think that exists in some fashion?
I still think it exists in some fashion, because right now I think they need it now more than ever. I mean, as we've said before, the 3D collection, 3D Mario World Deluxe, or however they want to brand it, Pikmin 3, they're quality software.
So
they're just unexciting. They're going to move a lot. Like, that's the thing for 2020. Nintendo is going to make, they're making a lot of money. They're selling hardware at historic rates. Their software is selling well. We saw Animal Crossing break every record for that franchise. And 3D World Collect or 3D Collection is going to sell a lot of units. It's going to sell hardware. But I still think they have, or they need, just one more big title to round out their holiday, because it just doesn't sound like a very strong holiday lineup. And the fact that they haven't communicated anything about these games with us yet, mm-hmm. puts in the back of my mind, what if Pikmin 3 is delayed until early 2021?
Well, that's what I'm getting at. What if, and I don't want to be an alarmist or anything like that, but what if they don't release anything between now and the rest of the year? What would be the fallout from that, other than, you know, angry people on Twitter? I mean, as far as sales and money and profit margins.
I'd imagine they would still have a substantial amount of hardware sale, because it's still an appealing platform.
Yep.
Animal Crossing is a very appealing game to the casual and mass audience.
Mario Kart's still going to sell a ton of copies.
Yeah, Mario Kart, that evergreen library, you produce some quality bundling for the holiday, and you're going to sell. I think what would happen is that they wouldn't necessarily see their punishment for those deeds in 2020, but you might see the repercussions for it in 2021, where maybe some of those interested parties have now lost faith or interest in your product, and they've moved on because... Yeah. And I don't want to use the PS5 and the Xbox Series X as like these, you know, titans that are just going to squash all over the Switch's momentum, because, I mean, they're not. They're going to be limited in stock and all those variables. But if Nintendo slows on momentum and they somehow do not release another game for the rest of 2020, which, I mean, as you say, you don't want to be an alarmist, so it is unrealistic that that's going to be an outcome.
Definitely.
But if they did go that path, and you're moving into 2021, you just bought a PS5 or an Xbox Series X. Well, Nintendo finally comes out with Pikmin 3 in February 2021.
Yeah.
How much are you going to care now? You would have bought it in, you know, September of 2020, but you're not going to buy it when you have new hardware with brand new exciting games, you know, standing up next to it.
Well, so we think, right? I mean, it's all about perception. Like right now, Microsoft and Sony are really driving their marketing, and their marketing is on point for both parties. But what if the PS5 launches with Miles Morales, right, as the only game? And what if the Xbox launches with Halo Infinite as the only game? You see what I'm getting at? Like, is it a stellar launch lineup, or is it a, hey, here's a next-gen game, plus play all your old PS4 and Xbox One games?
I think that they're going to have to, like, I think even in that case, like, people who are going to be spending that money to get those games, there's going to be a lot of them, and they're going to be the kind of people that once they start investing on those platforms, even if there's not a lot of other games to buy, they're still going to, like, be emotionally investing. Like, they're going to be, it's, you know, engagement, the thing that people always talk about. Like, people want to build up a relationship with a platform, because that means that they, you know, when they have friends that come on there, they think about, like, okay, I'm getting together with those friends and spending time with them, and or, you know, or if it's just games I'm discussing with those friends or whatever. And, you know, there is a risk that Nintendo would be losing some of that engagement that it really has absolutely built up to, like, a monstrous degree through this year with stuff like Animal Crossing. And I think Paper Mario is, like, an example of a game that is benefiting from that. That's, you know, We only have the UK numbers, but it's like the fastest selling Paper Mario ever. And, you know, I think it's just that points to there being a lot of excitement on this platform. And, you know, the longer they go without releasing a new game after Paper Mario, the more they risk losing that engagement. And that is an issue. I just think that if this is a problem that is probably in our heads, because if the second that we do have a direct, it's all going to be forgotten, yeah, right? The second absolutely. That we have, the second these announcements happen, we move on from all this concern and all this anxiety, and it's just like, oh, okay, now we're so excited for all these games that got announced. So yeah, it's tough, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's a great point. And it's true. The second they have another direct, or they go to Twitter and they announce the 3D collection,
right,
or 3D World Deluxe, Pikmin 3, a new Metroid, all this fear and concern is going to be washed over, because now it's mm-hmm. we have something new to be excited about. They showed us that we can't wait for it, and the last 6 months become irrelevant, because at the end of the day, we're consumers, we're fickle. Mm-hmm. We want to know what's next. We want to be excited about something. And as you use the term like engagement and even investment in the platform, that I think that's my key concern right now, is that people are still engaged with Switch, thanks to Animal Crossing and even Paper Mario. But I wonder if they're slowly becoming a little less invested in the platform, because on Spawncast over the weekend, we had Brian Altano on, and he talked about some of the titles like Burnout on Switch. And he's like, if I were still traveling for work, even though it's overpriced, I probably would have said, I'm going to download it so I can play it on the Switch while I'm on the airplane. Well, travel and vacations, people aren't leaving the house as much. So if those games are on other platforms, mm-hmm. you're probably not going to be invested in them as heavily as you were prior, because, you know, like Doom Eternal, I'm waiting for the Switch release. I thought it would have been dated today because they were going to talk about third-party games in the Direct.
That was a surprise to me that wasn't mentioned.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was a really weird omission. But now if I'm just kind of that casual mass consumer and I want to play Doom Eternal, if I'm not leaving the house and I don't, you know, portable play isn't really it's no longer a factor in my life because I'm not commuting to work, why am I not just buying it on my Xbox One or my PlayStation 4 or my PC?
Yeah.
I just think that they are the people that were like getting into gaming this year because of COVID. Mm-hmm. These are like a lot of families and stuff who are like, they like the idea. They like the idea of the Switch because not because they're going to be traveling, but because they're going to be able to play the games on the TV with their family when everyone's sitting around together. And then when it's time to, you know, put on a show or a movie for the adults, you take out the Switch, you hand it to the kids, and then they can keep playing. And it's like this really good family device. I think that's who is like being won over right now. And not to say like Xbox One and PlayStation 4 weren't like winning over that audience too. Everyone was buying systems because of this stuff, and that included the Microsoft and Sony stuff. But I still think that if you were to like go ask a family what device they want the most while they're stuck inside for the rest of 2020 in the United States, it's going to be the Switch for a variety of reasons, just because it does appeal to families. It does have a lot of stuff. Nintendo has that reputation, and you know, the games there are there to back it up. There's a Mario mm-hmm. Kart, there's a Mario Party, all this stuff. So I like, yeah, they probably are losing something because the lack of traveling, but I think that's like for the hardcore crowd that had already bought into the Switch and they're already there. So maybe those people will buy Doom Eternal somewhere else. And uh-huh. I think it's just like Nintendo's just gonna have to like take that on the chin, because they're this other, maybe potentially larger audience with maybe more money to spend, families, are coming to the Switch still and are still there for the taking, and also are the kind of people that aren't paying attention to directs, aren't the kind of people who are getting anxious because there hasn't been a game announced after Paper Mario. They don't know. They just look at the eShop and see that there are 10,000 games on there already. They don't really care. So right. They're probably okay on that front.
Yeah, that's kind of where I wonder if they've just alienated a little bit of that core audience that they have built up on the Switch, because the Switch has a very active core audience, which is something Nintendo has always actively sought to capture, and they finally did. And like, my ex-girlfriend had texted me about a week ago saying, where can I get a Switch, you know, they're all sold out, because she wants to play Mario games. So she's that prime example that you use of, like, you know, families, the casuals who want to buy a Switch because they know Mario, they know Mario Kart, they know those established franchises from, you know, from our youth. I guess my fear really is that they've have alienated that core market right now, especially in 2020, because Animal Crossing, yeah, it has world, you know, has mass appeal. Some of the core gamer probably has invested in Animal Crossing a bit, Paper Mario is probably more of like a fringe example, but there really hasn't been much in terms of core appeal this year from Nintendo, because I believe I've said it on a podcast in the past, 2020 has felt like Nintendo's approach to the casual gamer with Clubhouse Games, Animal Crossing, Paper Mario, and those type of releases. And like, how far can you go and potentially, you know, alienate that enthusiast crowd before they do get, you know, a pretty big knock on the chin where it's like, oh no, we may have made a grave error here. And I mean, that's something you really don't want to make, especially in the video game business, because the core gamer is very fickle. They will move to the PlayStation to play The Last of Us Part 2 or Ghost of Tsushima, or they'll go to the Xbox to play the new Halo. If Nintendo isn't giving them what they want, they're going to abandon and find the next big thing.
I just think that if Hollow Knight 2 comes out, where's everyone going to buy it? Everyone's going to buy it for Switch, as long as it runs okay. Yes. I think this generation, and kind of going forward, Nintendo's already won over the core audience for all the games that don't require a top of the line, performance system. So, it, you know, any indie game that is 2D, and a lot of them that are even 3D, if you can get on Switch and it runs okay, that's where you're going to get it. And I think they've sort of won that battle, right? So it's like, do they have to keep trying to convince you by putting out their first party stuff when really everyone knows, like, the people who buy a lot of games, and if you're buying a lot of games that aren't necessarily first party, that are, you know, exclusive to a system, where are you going to do it if you've already picked Nintendo there? It feels like maybe Nintendo maybe could afford to let off the gas, especially if they are having development issues or whatever. I'm not trying to like damage control for them or whatever. I just think that they're in a fine position. I think the longer it goes, the more tenuous it becomes. Absolutely. But I still think they're not in any situation where they need to be panicking yet. If they want to hold on to Pikmin 3 because they're unsure about the other games that are coming up after that, like if there's a bunch of games they have question marks around them, or they're just not certain, they can afford to hold on to Pikmin 3 right now. They did just launch Paper Mario, and they could give it a couple weeks. We're still in the summertime. There's a lot of concerns in the United States about people having enough money to, you know, pay for anything, let alone games. Not to say that games aren't selling, they obviously are, but like, they can keep it in their back pocket. They can hold on to it as an insurance policy. And then once they know a little bit more, once they have a little bit more certainty about the future of their game development, they can then say, okay, now we know, let's put Pikmin 3 out now, and then build on our library going forward from this point with more confidence. To me, that seems like what's happening here.
I think they are having development problems, though. Like, I'm not saying it's anything drastic, but I do think they've had some delays with COVID. You know, it's inevitable, right? It has to be. There has to be some part of that chain of development, for anywhere from, you know, the beginning to the end, where things have just been caught up in a bit of a loop, you know, or in a bit of a holding pattern while they're trying to, you know, make their next move. Because I just don't think there's any reason why, you know, they would have had to have shown Pikmin 3 today if it was truly ready to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the part that I just keep thinking about, and it just doesn't make any sense.
You think it's like an active development problem, or do you think it may be more,
I think it's
towards like the latter half of like certification?
Yeah, I think it's clearing the backlog.
Q&A
type
of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, that's what I'm getting at, Nate. I'm not saying that, like, you know, they're still writing code or there's bugs, right? Like, I'm saying the game's done, but from a certification process, I mean, we know that the lock check process has been backed up. It's been backed up for months. You know, getting your game certified, there is a delay there. And now, you know, the message now is that they've been, you know, they've kind of been caught up. But what does that mean from their games? Like, now, normally you would think, well, if it's Nintendo first party, they're going to get pushed to the front of the queue. And probably that's true. But I mean, there is still there was still an issue of that. So I'm not really sure if Pikmin 3 is quite ready yet, as far as they're ready to unveil a trailer and some gameplay in a direct.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, they definitely had to hit some sort of obstacle in the early half of 2020 due to all of the pandemic problems. And like we kind of, when we talked about it earlier this year, we kind of assumed like, yeah, it's going to affect any game for like 2020. It's going to fall into certification, quality assurance, definitely marketing, because if you don't have your marketing departments all together, you know, those take months to come up with marketing plans. And if you're not having those meetings, a 1 month delay can turn into now a 2 month delay.
Yep.
Because you have to reassign all that time and compile all of this information and, you know, craft the planning. And if they are hitting these problems with these expected games for 2020, the 3D Mario Collection, 3D World, Pikmin 3, and they're still in these development, you know, issue states, it really makes you wonder, I mean, how far along were they in early 2020? And I mean, who is actually developing these games? Because
right.
Nintendo is no, you know, stranger to outsourcing. They like to use China for outsourcing of certain products, and they like to go to other Japanese companies, be it Bandai, mm-hmm. Sega, anyone who can lend assistance to them. They will reach out and say, we need asset help, and they have them. And maybe that's why we're seeing delays with some of these games, because Nintendo internally hasn't been handling these ports. They have a lot of, you know, external support on them, and if they were in China, they would, you know, they could have been shut down for several months, or they could have even been Western asset developers who weren't in office. And I mean, it's unfortunate that it seems that it's Nintendo is just, they just seem lost right now.
Yeah, I mean, and think of all the first party AAA games, you know, the Sony games. They both of them got delayed this year. Mm-hmm. Cyberpunk's got delayed. Doom Eternal got delayed. I mean, everything got delayed. We never hear about Nintendo getting delayed because they never communicate that until they're just about ready to launch something.
See, that's the thing with Nintendo, and that's where we had the investors meeting Q&A come out, and they were asked, has COVID impacted your 2020 plans? And President Furukawa came out and said, no, it hasn't.
But what does that mean, though? Like, does that mean making X number of dollars at the end of the year on the bottom line? You know, that's a very kind of open question that could be interpreted in different ways, I guess. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he could have spun that in a way to say, we're going to make, you know, we're gonna hit our budget this year. We're going to make this much profit this year. So we're in good shape.
Or like, the way that they talk to investors, too, at those meetings, like, they're not, these are not necessarily gamers. These are like a very general audience. And so, you know, when he says, you know, it hasn't affected our plans, it's like our announced plans that, you know, we have said to the audience and stuff, or that we've said to you, no, nothing's changed there. Right. And he can't lie to them. That would be very dangerous.
Yes, yes.
So I would imagine that when he answered that question, he knew exactly what he meant. So yeah, so then, you know, if we assume he's not lying, then our game's not delayed, or our game's getting delayed and we just don't know about it, but that's not part of the plan as such. So yeah, it can be interpreted in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, and I've seen the interpretation that he was referring to like Clubhouse Games and Paper Mario, because that was the only known lineup at the time. He's saying, no, our plans are still on track because we're launching Paper Mario,
right,
you know, in the end of July, whereas other people are taking it to mean everything that we have penciled in internally for 2020 remains on track. And you just kind of have to hit that point, especially now, where you're kind of raise your eyebrow and say, really? Or, you know, is it really a case, as kind of you alluded to, Jeff, you can't delay what you don't announce?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's what's happening here for sure.
And I mean, 2020 has definitely been an interesting marketing year from Nintendo, because out of all of the companies, it's really Nintendo that's been the most enigmatic. They're very, you know, they're very mysterious of what they're doing. They don't want to communicate directly. And had the president just come out and said, COVID has affected our plans, but we're working hard to remain on track, I think people would have been a little more forgiving, and they would have said, okay, well, that direct mini happened today. There was no Nintendo stuff. They just released Paper Mario, but they said, hey, we had been impacted, so we're going to forgive them. We're going to see how the year plays out. But when you come out and you make such a strong statement of we're on track, mm-hmm. you kind of give people that sense of confidence that Nintendo's still going to get those games out. And
I mean, they still could, right?
They still could. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we're kind of assuming the worst here, because we are nearing August.
Yeah, let's go the other way. Let's assume the best. What happened?
Yeah.
The best case scenario, what do you think happens?
Well, I mean, I like I kind of said earlier, I mean, I don't really think this changes their plans. Like, you know, all I'm saying is that maybe it's 2 weeks, you know, behind than what we thought, right? Like maybe in 2 weeks we'll hear more about what's next. And so I don't think, you know, the Mario 35th stuff, Pikmin 3, I don't think any of that's off the table. I just think it's a little bit behind than what we first anticipated.
So you think, realistically, like we said, this is the best case scenario. You think Nintendo could have still, let's say, 6 or 7 retail games coming out before the end of this year. And included in those, we'll say, the 3D Collection, Pikmin 3, 3D World.
I'm not sure about 3D World if that makes 2020. Like, and we talked about this on the last predictions video that could be a 2021. The 35th stuff, you know, Mario All-Stars 2,
yeah,
absolutely is this year. But 3D World, that may not make the cut.
No More Heroes 3, Bravely Default 2, the one more game that I'm still hoping that they have. Like, do we think
F-Zero,
they can...
right? We saw that Twitter account, right? F-Zero for sure.
Oh, yeah, the F-Zero Twitter account. MVG and I talked about it in our predictions video. We called it a fake. And amazingly, the user came out today and posted, "It's fake. I made this and messed with everybody." And it was like, who saw that coming?
Yeah. People got to, as soon as that like little detective trick of like finding the email attached to the thing happened, I'm like, I am not trusting another one of those point forward.
I trolled people. I tried to register Eternal Darkness too, but unfortunately the word length is too long for Twitter. So,
oh man, what about Nintendo Land 2?
That was already taken. Unfortunately, that was my first pick actually.
So,
if you register, it'll come true, right?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Apparently, because all those fake registries came true at this last direct. I mean. So our best case scenario, if we want to view Nintendo as everything's going to happen, everything is awesome, we're looking at all the rumored games that, realistically rumored, not F-Zero, are going to hit this year. And Nintendo's going to close out this year strong. They're going to look really good going up against the PS5 and Xbox Series X, right?
Well, everything will be announced that we talked about in the last direct. But some of that stuff was 2021, don't forget. So, we want to definitely be realistic about what's coming for this year. But I do think that it's Mario 3D Collection, the 35th Anniversary Collection plus Pikmin 3. And maybe the unknown game as well that you mentioned.
What about in terms of announcements? Because, I mean, we're talking about games that are going to come out still in 2020. And due to Nintendo's, let's say, conservative nature of how they've been handling this year, are we really anticipating maybe Nintendo before the end of the year, like we talked about, maybe a general direct or whatever type of presentation they want to make? Today, we did see 2 2021 games get dated from Atlas. Do we think Nintendo is going to come out and maybe detail some of those early 2021 releases for the Switch? Or are we still expecting them to play it really close to the chest and say, if we don't have a game for January, unless Pikmin 3 gets delayed until early next year, that they might wait until mid-January to say, okay, well, here's our early March release? Or do they say, you know what, we're hoping COVID is under control by then and we're going to start communicating with you. We pivoted in 2020, but let's show you that 2021 is going to be our year. Do they make big announcements before 2021 or 2020 concludes to hype us for 2021?
I think if it's I think anything that has to do with Mario will get kind of at least teased or detailed to a certain point. So if like Mario 3D 3D World Deluxe, if that is a 2021 game, to me, I feel like you bring that up in whenever you announce all that stuff. And if it's 2021, you say that. I think beyond that, though, I would expect them to continue being pretty conservative. I would expect them to rely on their partners and rely on third parties to fill out their any sort of directs that they do try to do, and then when they're ready, when the game is now, like, their trend recently has been when a game's like 2-3 months away, that's when you could start talking about it. that's when they'll start talking about these games. I don't think that's going to change too much. You know, maybe like by the end of the year, if we're doing the Game Awards and they need to have something there, maybe they do something big at that point. I would expect something big from Nintendo at the Game Awards, but not guaranteed. But beyond that, not much. I think they try to keep things pretty close, just because they're conservative anyhow. And now with so much unknown still in the world, I think they're going to be playing it even safer.
Yeah, I really can't see them ending 2020 without showing us a new Breath of the Wild 2 trailer, because we have to assume, right, had E3 taken place, that Breath of the Wild 2 is going to have some sort of presence there.
But it has to have a date on it. Has to have a date on it, I think, if they do that.
2021.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the date could just be 2021, right? I mean, but there's got to be a commitment as to at least the year that it's coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. And the weird thing with 2021, and I hate doing this because I swear it happens every year, and it's, you look at all the delays from the year you're in that get pushed into, you know, the coming year, and everyone's like, oh, next year is going to be awesome. And right, with Nintendo, maybe 2021 will be awesome. Like, I don't believe Pokemon Snap is coming to Switch this year. I think it'll be an early 2021 release. Breath of the Wild 2 should be 2021, whether it's first half or second half. We really don't know, because we don't know how COVID could have potentially impacted that game's development. But you have Bayonetta 3 that remains unknown. We have Metroid Prime 4. We have Metroid Prime Trilogy. We have the rumored 2D Metroid. These are all games that, I mean, they have to come out eventually. Hmm. So, and we've talked about them a lot over the years. We have the rumored Monster Hunter that was talked about, I believe, over about 2.5 years ago. So that should be getting ready for release. I mean, maybe 2021 is going to be that awesome year, but I always feel like everyone, we view that year, this year is going to be great, and then we get into it and it's, oh, well, everything that I was looking forward to got delayed again. Because, I mean, especially with Zelda, they never make it on time. They always face 2 or 3 delays. I mean, how many times was Breath of the Wild 1 delayed?
Yeah.
Like a lot. 3 times.
Yeah.
Or Persona 5, how many times was that delayed?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Nintendo's marketing is definitely leaving, I mean, would you say it's fair that they definitely are leaving us in the dark?
No, I don't think so. I do think that they will follow up this with, you know, some more information. And you know, they kind of tease that, I guess, saying that, you know, there's more to come. Now, sure, that's something you always say, right? Like, you know, even as a YouTuber, you'll say, hey, you know, like and subscribe and you know, check out my next video or whatever. But I mean, there's, you know, I think there's definitely more to come here. I don't think that they're just kind of leaving us in the dark. But what do you think about that?
You know, I want to hear Jeff's thoughts on that. Do you think Nintendo's marketing is leaving us in the dark a little bit in 2020?
I think it's yeah. I mean, I think they're leaving us in the dark because they feel like they don't have to share anything that they haven't shared yet. I feel like they are very confident. I think there is some truth to what you said earlier about the arrogance. I think it's earned a little bit. I think they've shown that they can make, you know, the best selling Paper Mario game or the fastest selling Paper Mario game, and they can have an Animal Crossing game that is you know, the number 2 best selling game of the year so far. In the United States, just with physical sales alone, no digital sales included. That's when you have that stuff happening in your back, you know, it's, and that's the wind that's blowing you ahead. You can afford to just sort of run in the dark for a little while. And that means leaving us in the dark, but oh well, to a certain extent. I mean, you know, a lot of this is, we do want to know what's next. A lot of this is, a lot of gaming is getting hyped up for what's to come. But us getting hyped up, it isn't necessarily what puts money in Nintendo's pocket. So do they really care that much if we're hyped up? Clearly there's some benefit to that. Eventually it does help sales, but I feel like they know that if they do a general direct and it has anything with Zelda in it or anything with Metroid in it, they know that the people are going to show up and watch that stuff. And that's not going to change just because they had a weird direct today.
Yeah.
So, they can afford to keep doing that for quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Microsoft had their misstep. Sony had their misstep this year. You know, this is Nintendo's turn, right? I mean,
yeah, there you go.
You can afford to have one and recover from this. And I think they will.
Yeah, it seems like every company has had a misstep this year. I mean, Ubisoft's Forward event was a pretty big misstep by them. And they kind of like this mini. They said, hey, we're going to have another one later this year. Look forward to it. And it's like, okay, you guys didn't leave a great impression, you know, with this first foray into it. But obviously the fans are still going to tune in the second time in hopes of something better. And I mean, that's the nature of, you know, nature of us. We continue to go back for the punishment because we hope something good is going to happen.
We love this stuff though, man. I mean, this is, you know, this is why we do this stuff, you know?
It is.
Yeah. I mean, it's very easy to like, you know, get upset or get all worried, but really we're watching commercials and getting excited about the idea of, and we're begging Nintendo to let us watch their commercials. And honestly, when you put it that way, it's like, oh, okay, Nintendo's already won so much of our mind share that, they can kind of do whatever they want and we'll keep coming back for more. So, yeah.
Yeah. We're just gluttons for punishment, especially from Nintendo. And I mean, I hope Nintendo looked at some of the critique today or even last week with the Bakugan bomb. Mm-hmm. That was another misstep by Nintendo's marketing. I like, hey, we're going to live stream the Treehouse. We're going to show you some Paper Mario. And we got this Way Forward game. It's a third party, you know, IP they'd never worked on before. Like, okay. Like, that could be intriguing. Bakugan. It's like, oh, no.
That one seemed contractual, though. You know, like, that felt like something that was kind of geared, was booked for E3. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. And if we had, like, had the full, like, E3 stuff of, like, a Nintendo Direct, and then, and this was, like, part of the Nintendo Treehouse that it was, you know, promoted as, most people would have not even been watching, or a lot of people would have been watching, but they, you know, watch a little bit of a Treehouse, and then you go do something else, you watch another announcement, and then you come back to see what they're talking about in that Treehouse. Everyone was watching this Treehouse in a way that no one has ever watched one of these live streams before from Nintendo. So, it was just too many eyes, too much pressure, and they just mismanaged it a little bit.
Yeah, and that's kind of what this Direct was, too. It just feels like Nintendo isn't managing the messaging right with this recent marketing push of this month. And, I mean, and it is largely inflated because of their silence. When Nintendo speaks now, you know, after 5 months of nothing, even if it's something minor, everyone's going to run over to it because it's finally that droplet of water to quench your thirst. But it's not a flow. It's just going to be like Bakugan, it's like, no.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Where's the good stuff, Nintendo? And they're sitting there with this giant jug of water behind them, looking at us and just kind of like, you know, we have it. We just don't know if we want to give it to you yet. And it's like, we're dying of thirst. And they're like, you're fine. You have a couple of, you know, raindrops on that water cap over there. That'll satisfy you. Enjoy. And it's like, come on, Nintendo. Everyone else is talking and showing. Why are you torturing us? And they're just kind of sitting there like, because we can.
Yeah.
We love you and we know you love us. So,
yeah.
We see you in the corner.
I think they're just scrambling. They're scrambling, I think. I think the people putting these things together, I mean, are scrambling. Like, there are a lot of old school executives at Nintendo that have done things their way for a really long time. And the ways that the world is forcing them to change to deal with COVID are ways that they have very explicitly ignored for a very long time. Like, just like the reason they might be having development issues is like, you know, Nintendo's not going to put a lot of stuff in the cloud and let people work at home. Like, that's just never going to be a thing that Nintendo was going to do willingly. It was only going to be if they were kind of forced by situation, and maybe they've changed now, but I bet there's still a lot of dragging the feet there at that company before they were going to actually make that move. And then but there's still people that have to put these marketing beats together, and they have to deal with all of that feet dragging and figuring out how to put it together with that in mind. And so I feel for them. I feel if there's a Nintendo of America person who was just like,
yes,
sending a lot of messages back to Japan and them and kind of just getting met with a stone face, that has to be pretty rough, because they probably know that there are ways to pull these things off and they're not getting the leeway to do it.
And that's an interesting point, because when we look at the three major departments of Nintendo, Nintendo Europe, NOA, and NCL, you'd have to imagine everything happening right now in terms of marketing, messaging, and just the lack of communication. It's all being dictated by NCL. Mm-hmm. I'm sure like Nintendo of Europe is sitting there saying, hey, we want to communicate with the base. I'm sure NOA, even if they're working in a limited capacity, are saying, we need to get information flowing. And NCL is being the traditional conservative, you know, Nintendo that we all have come to know and love. and they're not going to budge from, you know, that old way. They're still, it still appears that they're evaluating COVID, and maybe they're, you know, in the back of their minds are saying, if there is a second wave that impacts us development wise, we do have these games done. We can release them, or it's just, hey, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world. We're not in a rush to really do anything right now. We're selling well. We're making a lot of money. As far as business goes, we're in a good place. Consumers will return when we have a direct and we say, here's a 2D Metroid coming out 2021.
Yeah, everything evaporates as soon as they say that. And everyone's like, oh, my God. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And that maybe that's what they're banking on. I mean, it's an interesting strategy. It's a risk and a gamble. It could pay off for them in the end if, you know, as long as you do generate that excitement. And, you know, it remains to be seen if they will succeed in capturing that. But it's Nintendo. They are a smart company. They've had success for a long time now. So we'll see what they do.
Real quick before we wrap things up soon. When do you think the next direct is? Do you think there's one coming up in August? Like of any stripe?
Of any stripe. So like mini, indie, general.
Yeah, like an indie world showcase even, yeah.
I mean, August, if I want to look at patterns, which I shouldn't do.
I know it's such a trap. Yeah, I know.
Especially in 2020, everything's just been thrown astray.
Yeah.
I mean, if I look at the patterns and tradition of Nintendo, they typically have always hosted something around the time that Gamescom or PAX West or PAX Prime, whatever they brand it as, would take place. So it does seem like August is prime for something.
Prime.
Yeah. I already dealt with that once. Like, it is a word. But yeah, August seems like a fine, how's that? Fine time for them to have something, just to, be it indie, be it a mini, to start communicating with us again in a more substantial way than what we saw today. That would be my expectation. I mean, what do you guys think?
I say it's August.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, when in August, I don't know. What type of event it will be, I don't know either. But I think whether we get a trickle of small, you know, one-off drops, or we get a big dump, I think definitely,
big dump.
August will be the time. I mean, if it's not August and we're into September, then yeah, we're raising alarm bells. Like, you know, it's time to really start asking questions.
Yeah, I'll say August as well. I think that's right. I think all of that was correct. I think, yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, we just had this thing, and like a lot of people were like breathing sighs of relief after like guessing or not guessing, but like, you know, getting their insider information right, and they got it out there, and it was correct. And now it's like that's not going to go away. It feels like we're going to like get right back into that same cycle here, like starting first thing next week. As soon as this Xbox thing goes away, everyone's going to be like, "All right, next direct. When's that happening?" Because they teased it, like they said another one's coming. Yeah, I would imagine we might get like an indie in August. I wouldn't be surprised if it looks a lot like March, like an indie world showcase and then a mini direct, if it was like kind of like mimicked that sort of structure. I still think they should announce like Mario stuff next month, I would hope, but that's just a hope at this point still. So, and that could still happen on like Twitter outside of direct, so who knows. But yeah, we'll get stuff in August for sure.
Yeah, they have to communicate something in August, because I have a hard time seeing them go through all of August and September without a new release. Because that would be unprecedented for them on the Switch to go the second half with, you know, 2 months of vacancy, especially last year where they were like, we're going to release like 5 games in August and September. It was kind of like, you guys didn't release anything for those first few months of the year. Why did you slam Astral Chain, Daemon X Machina, Dragon Quest XI, and like Link's Awakening all within like a 3-week span of each other? And it was just like, because we can, we're Nintendo. And I can't see them just going completely silent for 2 months. So August sounds like a perfect time for them to do something and communicate with us, because we are anticipating something in September for Mario. I mean, it's his birthday. Let's celebrate, Nintendo. Give us something to look forward to this year.
Yep, agreed.
Now let's go through some of the Streamlab questions. $5 from Kairim, I think is how you say it. They say, Nate still seems to think Sony has an iron grip on mainline Persona, but I have to wonder, does Sony under Jim Ryan still care about exclusivity? to a 3 to 4 million unit selling title, Japan focused IP. Thanks for the entertainment. Keep up the great work, you two. The thing with the Persona Sony agreement is that there doesn't appear to be any paper trail of an official contract between the two companies. It could just be a verbal agreement of, you continue to give us the Persona mainline on the PlayStation hardware, we'll allow you the option to bring it to PC in the future. And what we kind of see with the Shin Megami Tensei franchise on Nintendo is Nintendo has had those mainlines on their platforms exclusive since, I want to say, 3DS. So that could be another verbal contract just between the two companies of, can we get that? Like, if Persona's on PlayStation, can we have SMT for Nintendo? And it could be a case of that. Like, Nocturne, as we saw announced today, is going to PlayStation 4 and Switch, but it was also a PlayStation 2 game, so it may not be part of that deal. There's never been a mainline Persona game on anything but Sony console in terms of home consoles. They have appeared on PC now, and it's likely that Sony is approving them. But Jim Ryan is an interesting new leader for Sony. His real main disinterest is backwards compatibility. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't find it profitable. And
dude just hates old games. Yeah. Can't stand them.
I love that. I love his statement about Gran Turismo on the PS1. Yeah, who would want to play this?
This, like, trash. I think Persona 5 is the fastest selling Persona game ever. It's a series that's going to keep growing. I don't know if Jim Ryan is very European centric in terms of, like, his leadership and stuff, and like where he wants to, like, promote people from. But I still think he values Japanese game partnerships a lot. So I wouldn't expect him to give that up if that's a choice he has.
Yeah, I mean, the Japanese industry, they're still very much about honor and respect.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we see some producers and some game developers who had been disrespected by Nintendo 25 years ago, and when they're asked, hey, you gonna bring your game over to, you know, the Switch, it's selling well, and they say no, absolutely not. And people say, why? And it's just you know, former president Yamaguchi said something mean about me, so we're not making a game for it. And that's a little bit of hyperbole, but it does kind of take place there when they respect someone. Like, the guy who makes the Yakuza games, he had great respect for Satoru Iwata. And when he asked them to bring Yakuza 1 and 2 HD to the Wii U, it happened. Unfortunately, the game sold about 3,000 copies, and that was enough to never get another Yakuza game on a Switch platform. But, you know, honor and respect go a long way in this world, and that could just be the case with the Persona franchise and Sony and Atlus. And that will wrap up today's episode of Nate the Hate. If you liked the video, give it a like. As always, I want to thank MVG for joining me.
Thanks for having me on, Nate. It was great to dissect this and do the post-mortem. And hopefully, Nintendo and Direct fans, there's more to come.
Hopefully. And I'd want to thank Jeff for joining us once again. Always a pleasure having you with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. A really good time. A confusing and fun company to talk about. So I'll always enjoy you asking me on to talk about Nintendo, without a doubt.
Nintendo is fun to talk about. And hey, maybe we have something to look forward to in the next couple of weeks once August begins.
Yeah.
We'll find out. I mean, August is right around the corner, everybody.
We'll see.
Yep. We will see. Or disappointment awaits. We'll find out. But until next time, continue to embrace the hate.